Now, people who are free indeed have the ability to share. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14 first. Matthew 14. And again, please track with me in this message. I believe God's going to encourage us all. Matthew 14, 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." All right. Now, this is a powerful story and a powerful lesson on sharing. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul said to the Philippian people, the church at Philippi, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress." Now, you Philippians know that also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Let me pause there for a moment. We're talking about free to share. One of the most distinctive characteristics of people who are free, indeed, is the ability and the willingness to share. Sharing is not only giving, but those two words, sharing and giving, are very similar, different, but always connected. Let me explain to you. First of all, let me define to you the word give. Give is to present voluntarily and without expecting compensation. It's to put something, is to put into the possession of another for his or her use. All right, that's giving. Now, what's sharing mean? They're very similar, but a little different. Watch this. Sharing is to have or share a part, to let someone else have or use a part of something that belongs to you. Now, first of all, in giving, in our text in Matthew, now the disciples were there giving. They were giving their time. They were assisting, working with Jesus. And when he was teaching the people, they organized the people and so forth. And so Christ was teaching all day long, and people were gathering by the hundreds and thousands to hear him teach. But verse 15 says, when it was evening, his disciples came and said, "Now, Lord, this place is deserted now. This is an empty place here. And the hour is late, like the sun's going down. And you got to send these folks away so they can go into the villages and find themselves something to eat." Now, let's decipher what they're really saying. You know, sometimes folks speak in code, you know, all these words mean this. They were saying, "Lord," they thinking, "Man, it's getting late. All these folk up in here, we fixing to have a problem because I need to get home." I had to go home at some point, and it's, these folk going to be stuck here. It's going to get dark. They don't have any money. They don't have any food. They think it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem with all these folk here if we just don't do something now. That's the thinking. And because they had been giving, they yet were not truly sharing. Now watch this distinction. I'm being very precise on this, and I'll give you scripture. That if we're only giving, then we release it, we put it out there, we want to make it available, but it's not much connection beyond that. Here, take this and go forth, okay? For example, a guy came in this morning real early and gave me this long story. I had my coat on. I haven't sat down yet. He came in and he saw me coming in and he asked me for some money and stuff and all this. Now, I found out from Elder Hudson, he'd been around many times before. A couple times before, and that had helped him before. He figured out he hadn't seen me before. So it's my turn, right? So now he know I'm all jammed up, you know. I just got here. But you know, I'm the pastor and all that. So I gave the guy some money and I gave him a couple of gift cards and I just gave him that. I didn't share it. I gave it because you need to go away. He didn't want to stay for service, right? He didn't want anything else but some money, so I gave him a little money and gift card. I'm happy to do that. But I'm saying this, I wasn't really in a sharing mode, because if I'm sharing with somebody, I'm going to bring you in, you're going to sit down, we're going to spend some time together. But he wanted no part of the service. And I wouldn't let the guy to say, don't, here, go away, you know. Sometimes you help, you give to people, let God handle it. My point, though, is that giving is like that. We just kind of do it, and we're through with it. But sharing is something else. So the disciples are like, hey, man, we've been giving all day. Now send the people away that they can go buy themselves something to eat. And what Jesus said to that is amazing. Verse 16, Jesus said, I need to go away. No, Jesus, listen, they need to go away. Jesus, listen to me. Listen, it's your staff talking now. They need to go away. But Jesus, the ultimate giver, and moreover, the ultimate man of sharing, said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, Jesus didn't say, I'll give them something. He said, no, you give them something. Because he was training that they were what? What's a disciple mean? A learner. And we're disciples, aren't we? Well, you know what happened next. I mean, Jesus, when they found out, the guy said, okay, what do we have here? Fish and loaves. How many? Count. I forget always what the count was. Two and five. Help me out. Which one? What was what? Five loaves, two fish. I get it backwards. All right. Five loaves of bread and two fish for 5,000 men. They counted men back then. Well, add in the women and children. Many say it was 15,000 people. 15,000 people. Five fish. No, five loaves, two fish. They like, man, how are we going to do this, man? See? Because we just givers, you know. This is beyond us. We are just, we know how to give, but sharing is like way beyond us. We all can give what we understand how to give. But the sharing is something different. Watch this, this next point. Should be a slide on this one too, this slide here. That giving with a heart to share is an expression of partnership and participation. Giving only is good, but can be disconnected from concern and engagement. It also may be inconsistent, okay? So giving, you know, is no partnership. But Jesus was in partnership with everybody he wanted to help. He wanted he wanted to help people with the teaching, but also wanted to meet their physical needs. But what was it, what exactly was it that allowed Jesus to be this sharer? What was it? Look at Matthew 14 and 14 again, please. The latter part. Here it is right here. What the whole verse says. Watch this. It's very important. When Jesus went out and saw the great multitude, he was moved with what? Compassion. What? Compassion. That is the factor. That's the difference maker right there. Is that when giving has compassion, it becomes sharing. The willingness to do more than what seemingly is even possible. And more important, where the disciples were concerned, when Jesus was ready to share through compassion, compassion unlocked the supernatural dimension of God. So now, you know, you cannot feed a whole bunch of people. You couldn't feed us in this room with five loaves and two fish. But because of compassion, when the disciples then began to distribute that food, as they obeyed Jesus and followed his compassionate example, when they reached into the basket to pull out bread, more bread appeared in the basket. And the story goes on that when they were finished distributing all that, all the fish and loaves, the Bible said there were like 12 baskets of fragments left over. That's one basket for every disciple who had question mark in his mind. So Jesus even shared with them. They got a whole basket to go home with. Come on, somebody. See, so this is supernatural, but it begins with the principle that I'm not just a giver, I'm also a sharer. I share. And I want to have partnership and engagement with the people that I'm serving. You get that? So again, to give is to present voluntarily. I get that. But sharing then is let someone have a part of what belongs to you. So every piece of bread and fish that was supernaturally created and given to people came out of the miracle of Jesus. They were eating a miracle. They were eating something that didn't exist before Jesus made it. Come on, somebody. And you don't forget experience like that. You don't soon forget something Jesus does for you that could not have been done any other way. And that was not some stale bread and some stinky fish, I want to tell you. I couldn't imagine. He may have begun with some old stale fish, but I don't see Jesus creating any stale bread and bad fish. You know, in fact, we know it's good because the next day, them folk found them. When Jesus went away, those folk went across the river. We got to find that man. And when they got there, he said, you didn't come because of the word. You came because you ate and were filled. So good fish and good bread is a good draw, you know. But that was not the reason why he did that. Was to make them want more fish and loaves, but to make them want more of God. That's what sharing is designed. See, sharing, like, again, I gave the man this morning a little money and a gift card. Okay, he went away. But my goal, though, I want to engage people. I want to help them physically, but then engage them spiritually. I want to share and not just give. Say, I want to share and not only give. Now, let's turn to example in this text that in Philippians that Paul wrote. And Apostle Paul also had this spirit of sharing. And in the text, let's go back now to Philippians chapter 4. Look at Paul, see the words Paul used here. Philippians 4:14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now, Paul was an apostle, a missionary, an itinerant preacher. Paul traveled his part of the world, establishing churches, training leaders, you know, doing the work that missionaries and apostles do. And that work does not have a guaranteed paycheck. So he just trusted God for his need to be met. And the pattern was that every church Paul helped and shared with was shared back with him. So the principle is that if somebody's sharing with you spiritual truth and helping you grow spiritually, then you share it back with them, you know, materially, financially, and so forth. So Paul said that he commended them for doing that. He also said in verse 15 that they also knew when he began his ministry, when he departed from Macedonia, that no church shared, he said, with me concerning giving and receiving. So then, of all the folk Paul helped and places he had been and churches he had helped to start, only one was helping him at that time, right? So the plan, you know, is, some folk were only giving to him but not sharing in that it was not a consistent thing. But Paul's mind, look, I'm not worried about that. Because Paul knew this, I know it, every preacher who's, you know, serving God without manipulation knows, I got to trust God myself, okay? And encourage the people to understand the principle of sharing. So Paul said this. Verse 16, he said, now, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. So Paul is saying, okay, you helped me. I appreciate that. I needed it and you did it. Praise God. But now, understand this. Paul wasn't saying that to manipulate others to do the same. Because the next verse said, verse 17 says this. Watch this. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek fruit that abounds to your account. I'm not trying to get something for me, because God going to move on somebody's heart somewhere to help me. So hear that now. See, anybody who's not helping you is not helping you. Obviously. So then, where's your help coming from? God, through somebody. But then those who aren't helping are missing out. You follow me? They're missing out by not supporting the work or doing what God would have them to do to share in making a difference. So the part is, Paul said, look, I'm not seeking a gift. I'm not that desperate, you know. You know, sometime, at least back in the day, when I watched a lot of Christian TV, I don't watch Christian TV anymore, but I just, you know, it's just too weird now. I watch a little bit, but, you know, these folk be crying, I call them crocodile tears, you know, like, if you don't send me some money, we got to go off TV and shut down the ministry. Now, who in the world, could you imagine Paul doing that? If you got to go to a place where you haven't developed and taught folk how to share, and now you go around begging for gifts, you got to keep that up. And here's the part about it that amazes me. It actually works. Crocodile tears work. Blessed handkerchiefs, all that stuff. It works. But it's stuff that I'll never do because I've learned how to trust God. Amen. And I've got some great folk like you who know how to share. But here's the thing about it. So Paul is saying, I seek fruit that abounds to your account. Say account. Say account. Now, we are very aware of this word account. I mean, we got accounts like out the wazoo. Come on, we got bank accounts. We got accounts with I got investment account. We have an account with, we have credit card accounts. We got cable TV accounts. I got a cell phone account. I got a cloud account for my, you know, all my files that I'm storing. They call it, quote unquote, in the cloud. But listen, when Paul wrote this, accounts were not commonplace. So I thought, Lord, this word could not really mean account the way I'm thinking about account. Right? So when Paul said, I want you to have fruit abounding in your account, there's no account in heaven, is there? Well, yes, there's an account. But not the way you think. Hear this now. Watch me. Watch this. Other Bibles say, New Living says this. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. NIV says, what I desire is to be more, that more be credited to your account. Barclay Version says, I'm looking for fruit which increases to your credit. So, hear this now. You would think account means I want you to know you did the right thing. But it's more than that. It really is more than that. All right, now watch this. The Greek word for account, let me teach you a little bit here. Well, first of all, we define account in our time as a record of debits and credits. Is that right? An account is an arrangement providing for regular dealings or services. Is that correct? Something we put in and things we pull out. But when Paul talked about the account of the Philippians, he was talking about something different but similar. Because the word that's being used for account is also used in the Bible as word, saying, speech, and account. That same Greek word is used for word, saying, account, speech. So the idea was this. that an account, this word means, is something said or done that others will notice. So when you say something, when the Bible uses the word, or uses saying or speech or account, however it's used, it's referring to the idea that something that is being said or done that somebody else notices. A little clearer. This word account, then, in this context, is saying God is paying attention to what we do, what we say, how we give, how we serve, all that. And he wants to know, and Paul was saying that y'all have shared in my distress time and again. See, folk had given once or twice, but when Paul said, you have shared with me, shared was a different level. You follow me? Now go back to Philippians 4. So he says, now we come to verse 17. Again, I seek fruit that abounds your account. Verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. Paul said, I'm blessed. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. So you have shared with me at the present time. I got a full supply. He said this. Watch this. I love this. He said, I received from you a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to who? To who? So whatever they gave Paul, God noticed it. And God said, that's a sweet smelling aroma. Your generosity, if I almost did this, I was going to come over early to the church and set some incense out around the room and just let it go. You know, you come here and smell this. Whoo, that's so sweet. I thought maybe, you know, I mean, I had a thought doing that. Because when you worship and you offer to God and you share with God and with his purposes, it's like a sweet smelling aroma. He says, as well pleasing to God. So Paul said, and this is what came out of the Philippians who had shared with Paul, not just given, but had shared, not just once, but on a regular basis, they were sharing and they were giving because of a sharing spirit. And now here's the promise. We go straight to verse 19 and we forget all the rest of this information here. Come on. Verse 19. And now my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That promise is not for everybody, everywhere, all the time. He was speaking in context to the Philippian church who had shared, right? And who had a spirit of sharing and who had done something that God recognized as a sweet smelling aroma and well pleasing. And now my God shall supply all your need. Now it's not that we can't get our needs met without God. Don't tell people that if you don't serve God, you won't have anything. Oh, no, not true. You cannot serve God and have a whole bunch of stuff and have a good life and never even give or serve God. It's actually possible. All right. But the point is, it won't be a sweet smelling aroma. It won't be pleasing to God. And I've decided this back. You know, we there was a time when people got silly about the prosperity message and all that. And part of their error of it was, if you give it to God, God will bless you. Well, we know that's true. But listen, I don't do it just to get blessed, okay? I do it because I love God. I love his church. I love the kingdom. I'm a sharer. I share. And I give of what I have, and I participate with people. I don't just give it away. I want to give it and connect with people through it. And so that we give, and we give tithes and offerings, all that, because we know it meets a need. But more than that, we know that it pleases God. it displeases God. That's why, you know, when people go off on tangents and play these little mind games with people about giving and stuff, it's all highly effective. It's just wrong. I don't care about stuff that works if it's wrong. I'm not impressed with that. Even though I may miss out on a lot of stuff I could have for not going a certain way, I need to please God. I need to please God. Amen? I can't stand before God. He's talking about, you just gypped them people, didn't you? You played mind game. You floated stuff out there you knew wasn't even sincere. I can't say how God's going to judge folk. But all I know is in my heart of hearts, I love Jesus and people too much to play any game. But I also know that we got to teach God's people how to sow, how to give, how to share, how to serve God. Amen? Amen? And if we really share the way that the Lord is teaching us, then we're consistent givers and tithers and needs are met. And needs are met. Say needs are met. And God is glorified. Say that part. Yes, he is. In fact, verse 20 says, "And now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." See, Paul confirmed that right there. And so it begins with, we begin a story in Matthew 14 with Jesus' compassion for the people. And the day had gone and they had ministered all day long, and the disciples were in a mode of, we've been giving all day. Now you got to send these folk away because there's a problem fixing to happen. All these folk, no food. Jesus said, from compassion and from sharing, they don't have to go away. You feed them. And when you decide to share, listen, when you decide to share, I'm going to do a supernatural work. He said, you feed them. He didn't say, I'm going to do it. He said, you who want to send them away, no, I want you to get this done. And if you develop a sharing heart, it will allow me, Christ is saying, I'm going to multiply that resource and make it enough for everybody. And that's what happened, wasn't it? And it still happens today. There is no logical reason why a congregation of this size should have a whole building. I mean, a whole church almost paid for. That don't make any sense. We've been bigger, but never been big. And we got real estate, we got a little money in the bank, and things are paid off, and only got one debt, and that's the building. That don't make any sense. Except that we are not just a giving people, we are a sharing people. We bless people all across the city in different parts of the world. I mean, we're doing things that really, logically, don't make a lot of sense. Except that it don't have to make sense. It needs to be that we love God. We have compassion. And compassion releases that supernatural provision of God. And that the people who want to participate in that are going to do so. Amen. And we just trust God to speak to people's hearts. And he's spoken to your hearts over the years, and I appreciate that. But yet, I have to trust God like you have to trust God. Amen. Now, let me show you a video. Thursday, I'll just tell you what I was doing. I want to go to auto show in Detroit. So I went to auto show. And I wanted to go for another reason. I wanted to drive the whole distance by myself, 4 hours, so I could just meditate. For me, driving on the road in that car is a very high level of solitude for me. All right. And I can listen to, I want to listen to, I had music on. But the part of, that you don't know, I'll just share this now as well, is the night before, I was awakened. This is rare for me now. I was awakened hearing the word yes. Heard the word yes. Now, I get up at night, go to the bathroom, you know, that's normal, all right. But I take medicine to make me get up a little bit too. But the point is, when I got up, though, I kept hearing this word, yes, yes, yes. I heard parts of a song that said yes. I thought, you know, so I got up for good. I thought, now what is that song? So I Googled, yes, song. You know, that's a whole bunch of results you can't use. You know what I'm saying? It's a rock band named Yes, you know. You know, so I got that too. You know, yes, that's not it. All right. Then I Googled, I went to YouTube and put in yes. Bunch of results. But one of which was a video by a church, a dance team, a little shaky video, but the music was exactly what I heard in my dream. Now, it wasn't that I never heard the song before. I never heard the entire song before. So I searched further, and I found the whole song by the group that did it. Group named Shekinah Ministry, Shekinah Glory Ministry, right? Yeah. It's a song from 2007. Not a new song, a classic song. I've heard it before, I'm sure, over the years. And you say, okay, I have heard it, okay. But I hadn't sat down and heard the actual original performance of the song. The point, though, is this. Here's my point to you about this video here. Don't pay attention as much to the performance, please, as the message. Sometimes, some of the greatest gospel music, Christian songs, we kind of mess it up because we're into the performance. So what I did was I watched the video. Then I began to have an idea. I'm going to do what's called a lyric video. I'm going to go in my editor and pull the words out and make a video with the words only, with the song playing underneath it. I thought, well, let me go ahead and show the video. So I made a cut where I have the video and the words on top of it, okay? So you see this version. But let me try to get you to do this now. Understand what's happening here. This is an encounter I had with God. I cannot say how it's going to affect you when you see it. I can't say that. I can't. I think it will encourage you. Let me pray and ask you just to focus on what you're going to see. And again, please don't focus on the performance. It's a good performance. It's a great performance. But do not focus on the performance, please. Focus on the message, okay?
Will your heart and soul say yes? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Will your spirit still say yes? If I told you what I really from me, would your heart and soul say yes? So just say yes. Open up your heart and tell the Lord yes. Yes. See, yes. 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 Say, I'll obey, yes. Jesus. Yes. I won't stray, yes. Jesus. But this time I'm made. Yeah.
Thank you now for the fact that we are free indeed. We're free to see, we are free to stand, and we are free to share.